I need your prayers. I recognize that I have no sufficiency of myself, that my sufficiency is of God. The scripture says, who has made us a minister of the New Testament? Did you know that the devil loves to come to camp meeting? We desire you to pray that the enemy will be rebuked. This morning I have written on the board, Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. I would like to speak to you this morning about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of what we call the Holy Trinity. That word is not in the scripture, but it is referred to as three in one, and they agree. It starts with God the Father, the Creator. He is the Creator of all things. He is the Creator of all creatures. He is the Creator of all humanity. He is the head, he is the ruler of all things. When he created man, he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And so he has set in order all things. He has set all of the universe, if you will, in order. He has set the seasons. Scripture says that there will be summer and winter and cold and heat, harvest, seed time, day and night, and it will be until the end. He is also the head and the ruler. He's not only the head of the church, he's not only the ruler of the church, but he rules in the sectarian world, he rules in the secular world, he rules in the governments. He said that the government shall be upon his shoulder. Said the increase of his government will be till the end. He governs in all the affairs of men and nations. The scripture says that he putteth up one and he taketh down another. God is a begetter. A begetter is a producer. God is a producer of all things and all people. He gives life. But he's also a taker of life. Another word that the Lord has spoken to us concerning God the Father is that he is a propagator. A propagator is one that passes on to his children, to his offspring, to his followers, his characteristics, his nature, his traits. He wants his nature to be in his children. To propagate means to transmit through a medium, his divine purpose. He would be propagating his teachings, his doctrines, and his very mind. The word propagate also means to spread from one person to another. What he desires for you and me to be spreading from each other and to each other is a godly influence. Our godly beliefs, the doctrine that he has given us, such as we heard last night, he wants that to come through each other. So that's his plan. He wants to propagate and let these things be passed. The product of God the Father is God the Son. God the Son is a medium, is a vehicle, if you will, of God's divine purpose. Another product of God the Father is God the Holy Spirit. It too is a medium and a vehicle for God's purposes to be carried out. Now, God the Son became the voice of God. We find in John, the first chapter, we want to look at verses 1, 4, 5, and 14. It tells us that in the beginning God created, was the Word, rather, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. So God the Son became the voice of God, became the Word of God. We count the Word which we hold in our hands, which we read with our eyes, we count that as Word that has come from God and been inspired by God. But it was Christ also. He was not only the Word, he was also the sacrificial lamb. He made a way for you and me to be able to come back to him, to the Father, God the Father. He was the reconciler as well as the Word or the voice. So we come down to God the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Ghost is God's Spirit that is holy. The Holy Spirit is the working agent. God, the Holy Spirit, is the working agent of the Trinity. It is the Spirit that goes out and does the work of God the Father. Scripture in 1 John 5 and 7, we'll refer to. It says that these three bears record in heaven, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Scripture there says that these three agree. The next verse speaks about the three that bears witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. So first of all, I want to speak on the operational or office of the Holy Spirit. In John 16 and 13, the office of the Holy Spirit is spoken of there as being a spirit that will lead and guide into all truth, and it will show us things to come. The Spirit will also cause you and me to walk in His truth, to walk in His statutes, and to keep His judgments. These are scriptures. The scripture also says that you and I will receive power through this Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also a spirit that helps our infirmities. It is also a comforting spirit. I'm identifying the office of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit maketh groanings and intercessions for you and me. When you and I run out of words, have you ever been in prayer and run out of words? You didn't have anything else that you could say? Have you ever used that scripture? Have you ever said and cried out to God the Father, send your spirit that can intercede for me, that can make those groanings that I cannot utter? It works. The Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of truth. There is no error in the Holy Spirit. There is not a false spirit mingling with this Spirit of truth. It will never tell a lie. It will never lead us wrong. It will never lead us down a wrong path. It will never tell us something to do that is not in accordance to the Word of God. That is the Spirit of truth. Spirit is also a sanctifier of God's people, of the redeemed. It has the power to sanctify you and me to holiness. And I want to say here, unless you're sanctified, unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit this morning, you stand a great chance of not making heaven. It is that oil that will sanctify you and keep you and prepare you. I'd like to tell just a little bit here. My husband told me this morning. Something that happened in the little children's meeting. It was so precious and it fit right here. The lesson this morning was on the five wise and the five foolish. And they had an object lesson with some of them, the little girls having containers, and they were supposed to be with water. And ultimately, I think some of their vessels were empty, and they had to go and have them filled. And one little girl spoke to another, whispered, said, "You need oil." You know what, this morning we need to say that to each one. You know what that means? We need to say to each other, don't leave off sanctification out of your life. Don't leave off the oil. Take care of it because you're going to need it in the end. Your lamp could go out. What an object lesson. I hope the children never forget it. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. The Holy Spirit also sets members in the body, and I'm so glad. The Holy Spirit is the one that calls individuals to His work, places them in that place. I remember when the Lord was calling me to the ministry. I had gone over to, I helped Brother and Sister Souter a lot while I was working in the school. And Brother Souter said to me one day, he said, "I sure wish the Lord would have called Lauren Vance instead of you." And I said, "I do too." But that's not my business. It's God's business. to set the members in the body as pleaseth him. That's part of the workings of the Holy Spirit. Let us value the work of the Holy Spirit. Let us honor it. Let us respect it. And if we're receiving a call, let us respond to it. Because it is the right thing to do for the body. So, he sets the members. The Holy Spirit is also an anointing spirit. It gives life. It gives life to the works in the church, and it gives life to the words in the church. It enlivens the body. It enlivens our service. I think I wrote down a little statement that Brother Michael may have said last night. I don't know where I wrote it down, but could you repeat it? Oh, I found it. I did write it down. Brother Michael said last night, he said, anointing, the anointing force is the breathing to all of the parts of worship. I mean, I added the last part. But the part that really spoke to me was this part, that the anointing force is that breath that breathes in our services. And without it, I believe someone said yesterday, without the Holy Spirit, we can't offer anything. We can't stand up here and speak, for we will be but sounding brass and tinkling cymbal and human wisdom. He uses nothing to make something. Do you value the anointing in our services? Do you recognize it? Do you know when it's there and when it's not? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Are you filled with the Spirit today that you can recognize the working of the Spirit in others? You have to have it in you before you can recognize it. Before you can be Spirit-led, you have to be Spirit-filled. I value the Holy Spirit. There is nothing I want in my life to hinder the Holy Spirit. Can the Holy Spirit be hindered in our lives? It can. It can be grieved. There are ways that I can conduct myself. There are ways that I can speak with my mouth, and it will hinder the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not work with me unless the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart are found acceptable in His sight. God is a searcher of the heart. He's not going to work with anything that's not pure. So important that we have pure hearts, that we may be Spirit-led and Spirit-filled. Now I have a little scripture I want to give to you before we proceed. It is in 1 Samuel 9 and 27, but I'm just going to give you part of it. It says, "Stand still that I may show thee the word of God." It's so important this morning for you and me to stand still. That we draw our minds in. What does that mean? This is a large crowd this morning. I'm not accustomed to a large crowd. I like my little corner of the world. I'm perfectly comfortable to take care of my little corner of the world. But we have to stand still to hear the voice of the Lord. Even Moses, the Lord spoke to him and said, "Tell the people to stand still." and see the salvation of the Lord. So when I'm standing still, I'm getting quiet. I'm pushing out of my mind all of those things that might hinder the voice of the Lord from speaking to my heart. So this morning I'm going to encourage us to lay aside all of the thoughts of tomorrow or the work back home or anything else that would hinder me from receiving what the Spirit is wanting to say to us today. Stand still. You and I cannot be Spirit-led without being Spirit-filled. I would like to speak to us this morning about the Church of God. The church is the body of Christ. It is the bride in the earth. It is, as we have already said, it is governed by the Spirit of God. As we have already said, He places the members. We've already said He gives the calling. But He also orders all things. Do you believe that? Do you believe that when you come to services, whether it's in your home congregation or if it's at a camp meeting, that God's Spirit is ordering the services? Remember, we spoke about the mediums in which He uses. He propagates. He uses His Son. He uses His Holy Spirit. But He also uses you and me as mediums to propagate, to send the word out, to transmit it. We transmit it from one to another, not just from here. We transmit it as we converse with one another, as we commune with one another on these grounds. We're still transmitting something of the Spirit of God to one another. We're still that medium that He is using here in the earth. See? So He orders all things. I've said that He is an anointer of all things. He is the one that gives thee life. This anointing, how do we recognize anointing? How do you recognize anointing? How do you identify it? I identify it as saying, the blessing of the Lord was there. When I recognize the blessing and the anointing that has gone forth, it blends with my spirit. It communes with my spirit. I recognize that the Spirit of God has been there and has made that service alive and anointed. And that's what we call it. Now, if you looked up the word anointing in the dictionary, they only have one definition. They did not have a spiritual definition like you and I are talking about, which we really can't see with our eyes, but we feel it in our spirit. And it's identified there, but the anointing in the dictionary says the anointing with oil. But in reality, this is the oil of the Lord coming down and enriching His word and sending it out, and it blends with your spirit. That's the anointing. Now, anointing is a witness of the Spirit, and it does carry some emotion, doesn't it? I want to emphasize some. Emotion is not anointing. Man cannot produce anointing. I cannot create it. I cannot propagate it. I cannot transmit it if it's in man. Man tries to stir up the spirit, you might say. They do it with repetitious songs sometimes. Can't think what they call that. They try to start their services and they're singing these songs over and over, and that's supposed to be stirring up the spirit. That's not the way God works with His Holy Spirit. I was in a grocery store one Sunday evening close to the chapel, needed to stop by and pick up something after the night service. Standing in line, and this young man literally ran up to me. "Did you have a blowout tonight?" I said, "No, I don't think so." I don't measure the Holy Spirit by a blowout. He said, "We did." Well, I want to tell you something. If you're measuring the Holy Spirit by emotional responses, you're missing it. The Holy Spirit, He says, in quietness and confidence, it shall be your strength. Oh, I want to tell you, sometimes the Holy Spirit is just such a quiet spirit, we almost miss it. But oh, how we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Thank the Lord. So what does the Holy Spirit anoint in our services? Is there any part He leaves out? Really? I love anointed songs, don't you? When the song service is so anointed, you don't want to quit singing. Isn't that a wonderful time? You know, we grew up in a time when Brother Williams was the song leader, and what was the thing he would say? There's a message in every song. Do you get the message? Are you singing it out of memory? And I love to sing out of memory. I wanted the whole group here to lay your books down and sing a few songs out of memory. It's good for us. I find that I can remember a lot of songs just because we have sang them all of our life. But I want to tell you, when I read those songs and I'm singing and this line right here is speaking to my heart, and it's a testimony of where I am or where I have been, and I cannot help but raise my hand. Oh, saints, I want to tell you something. You need to be lifting holy hands for right reasons. You need to be lifting holy hands because your soul is anointed by the words of the song. I want to encourage you. I encourage the congregation. They'll tell you I do. And oftentimes when I'm looking across the congregation and I see a hand go up, I look down there and I say, "What are they raising their hand to?" And then I always say, "Thank the Lord." It blesses me to see the little congregation growing in the things of the Lord and experiencing the anointing of these songs in their life. It blesses me. Thank the Lord. Do we expect to have anointed preaching? Without it, it's nothing. Without the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the word of life, it's just a speech. It's just a talk. Paul said in one place, and we're going to come to that, He said, I would rather speak five words. Now, he didn't say anointing. But I'm going to say, I'd rather speak five words that's anointed than 10,000 words that's not. He said, easy to be understood. What about exhortations? You know what exhortations are? Sometimes after the message, maybe there is somebody that will exhort. Is it appropriate? Does God use it? Yes. He uses it. He has a place for it. But he wants it to coordinate. He wants it to be a blessing and not something that will kill or steal the spirit or the message. I said that the devil loves to come. Did you know, what does the devil come to our services for? To use people. And please don't think we're pointing a finger at anyone. This is a lesson this morning, a teaching, a reminder. I like spirit-filled and spirit-led exhortations. It can be the icing on the cake. It can be the finishing touch. It can be the perfect thing to finish off a message if it's led of the Spirit. Testimonies, prayers, special singing. We may speak on some of those things a little bit later. I want to give you a scripture now out of 2 Corinthians 3:17. Speak about our liberty just a little bit. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Someone said there is a high price for liberty. There is. What is liberty? Liberty is freedom. Liberty's definition is also permission to perform. Don't we give that? Don't we give the liberty and permission for you to be led of the Spirit? Did you know that's the beauty of the Church of God? Because we don't have an organized program. We don't have a group of men that has determined. Did you know that that's what happened to Anderson? That they once were spirit-filled and spirit-led, and it came to a place they thought they knew how to do it better than the Spirit. And they had a group of men that determined at their camp meetings who was going to speak and what the subject was going to be. As I pass some of these churches where they put out on their little sign what the message is going to be on, I think, my, the people already know. And how easy if it came from headquarters and they sent the message and they sent everything that went with it. They didn't have to pray it down. They didn't have to ask the Lord for anointing. They probably were very polished by the time they took the pulpit. I remember one time years ago, I was just first in the ministry, working in the school there in Oklahoma City, and in the mail there came an advertisement for these volumes of books, like encyclopedias, but they were filled with all different kinds of messages on every kind of subject. And actually, they sent along with their advertisement one whole message already made out. And I looked at that, and I said, how easy. They had the stories all put in there just right. What do you think I did with it? Did I use it the next Sunday? I dropped it in the trash. That's not the Holy Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit to be the giver of the messages. Moses said over in one place, and I got a hold of this, and I pray this way. He said, speaking to the children of Israel about him leading them out of Egypt, and he said, this thing is not of mine own mind. Moses did not lead the children of Israel out because he thought it was best, because he knew how to do it. He didn't do it. It was the Spirit of the Lord that was having him do it. You and I need to not work after the spirit of our own mind, the thoughts of our own mind. Every thought that comes through my mind is not necessarily from the Holy Spirit. It can be my thoughts, or it could even be the thoughts of the enemy who appears as an angel of light. He's here this morning. He is trying to hinder you from receiving the message. He's trying to hinder the message from going forth. So the devil, he has his work. But thank the Lord Jesus is here. And the Holy Spirit is here. I am not intimidated by the enemy's spirit. Can I tell you an experience I did have, though, with the enemy years ago? The devil was standing at my right hand in the pulpit, and I was struggling with the message that morning. He was talking in my right ear, and he said, you need to quit preaching, and you need to never preach again. And when I sat down, I said, that's it. I am never going to preach again. And I meant it. At that time, I was the only minister there in Oklahoma City. And so my afternoons were seeking the Lord for the night service. I didn't open my Bible. I didn't go before the Lord and ask for a message. I was through. Don't judge me yet. About 5 o'clock in the evening, there was a still small voice that spoke to me. And it was such a sweet voice. And it said, won't you try one more time? And it was so sweet, I said, yes, Lord, I'll try one more time. I still did not open my Bible. On the way to church, the Lord spoke to me and he said, preach on Nebuchadnezzar tonight. And all I did, I just opened my Bible. I read about Nebuchadnezzar, closed my Bible. I'm going to get up and I'm going to read about Nebuchadnezzar, and that's it. I got up in the pulpit that night. I read about Nebuchadnezzar, and the Lord opened my eyes at the end of it. And he said, this is the message. It is a responsible generation, and it's his grandson. And he turned me loose. And I knew he wasn't through with me then. But the devil wants to hinder the preached word and the ministers of God, and every one of them are a target. So there's liberty. There was a caution given in 1 Corinthians 8 and 9. And that caution was this: take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a what? Stumbling block. Did you know that we can become a stumbling block? What is a stumbling block? A hindrance. Could even be an offense. We can be that. And it's speaking about our liberty. It's not a free-for-all. The services of the Lord that are ordered of the Lord, I believe he has his hand on just the one he wants. and can use for that hour? Isn't that how we pray? Lord, bless the message that is right for the hour, for this service. I believe Brother Marty is the one that told this. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. But he had a vision one time. Is that correct? Several times. But in this particular vision, he witnessed that there was an angel in front of every minister when it came time for the service. Is that correct? But also behind each minister was an imp from the devil prodding. But there was one minister without the angel in front. What is the angel doing that's standing in front? Holding each one back until it's your time. That's the order of the Lord. What's the imp doing behind? Trying to affect your humanity. Trying to affect the way you think and feel inspired, and the emotion and the stirring of your spirit. We've got to identify and be a discerner of these spirits. But in all of the group that he witnessed in his vision, there was one that did not have the angel holding them back. I want to tell you, Church of God, that's the Church of God. That's the order of the Holy Spirit. That's how he wants to anoint the services, by having his will, having his way in our services. And the only way that he can have his will and his way is for us to submit to his will and his way, to be subject to him. That's the only way. If I have to have my will, my way, it'll be out of order. It will not be anointed. It will not be blessed of the Lord. We will not feel it in our services and in our spirits. So let us not be a stumbling block. Now we might think of stumbling block to each other, but let us not be a stumbling block to the Spirit of God. Let's be subject to the Spirit of God. Okay, 1 Timothy. Going to change just a little bit, but still on the same subject. 3:15. Just a little portion of that scripture says, we want to emphasize, know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. So I understand from this scripture that God has a way for me to behave in the services. He has a way for you to behave in the services. And when we all are filling our place, when we're all fitting in the same place or the right place, the body is a beautiful church of God. All of the members are working in the order of the Spirit. If you'll turn with me to the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. We're not going to read all of that, but we're going to look at that chapter as giving us some instructions of how to conduct ourselves in the house of God. We understand that Paul is dealing with a lot of the tongues in this part, in the Corinthian church, languages and interpretation. And by the way, if any of you have not read Brother Michael's paper on the gift of tongues, I urge you to get it. It is very enlightening and informative, and I would urge you to read it. But we're not going to talk about that. I just had to put that in there because I felt like that it was one of the best writings I have read on it. But in this particular chapter, we get a little bit of a glimpse of how to conduct ourselves in the house of God. And I'm going to refer to verse 12. The first thing that you and I need to do in order to be a blessing in the congregation or in the church or in a camp meeting, we must be seeking that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Where do you do that? You do that at home. You do that in your private closet. I want to add something here. What do we do in our closet? Generally, we pray. Not a literal closet, but in our private prayer life. Did you know that you should not bring your private prayer life into the congregation, that it's different? What you pour your heart out to in the private place, the things that you empty out of your heart, your life, your mind for others, for yourself, shouldn't be the same prayer that is prayed in the congregation or in a camp meeting. Yes, we bring every need to the Lord. There is nothing I cannot personally take to the Lord. But for me to come into the congregation and edify the congregation, I cannot bring my troubles that I have prayed about in my closet. Amen. There are some private things that need to stay in your closet. You bring to the congregation those things that will edify, build up, encourage, strengthen. That's not just for the minister. That's not just for the Sunday school teacher. That's for every one of us. If we have been spending time in our closet, if we have been seeking the Lord from His Word, did you know that we'll have a fresh testimony? And I'm not against testimonies of long ago. We all have. I believe the Lord wants us to repeat them. I know the older ministers. I heard some of their stories over and over, and I never got tired of it. And I am not against telling old testimonies. Don't get me wrong here. But I believe God wants a fresh anointing on our testimonies that's up to date, current, that we have spent time in His Word. We have been fed. We've been enlightened. And He has blessed us in such a way that we can take it now and edify the congregation. Amen. So the first thing to know how to behave ourselves in the house of God is to live a life filled with the Holy Ghost, led of the Holy Ghost, that when you go to the services, you are able to edify one another. Praise the Lord. The next one is verse 15. This scripture says that I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. That's why we brought out about our private prayer. We have some understanding there. When we come, we are praying. Not that we have two different kinds of prayers. We do. I'm sorry. We do. We must learn how the Spirit wants us to pray in the service. Yes. There are prayers that are anointed of the Spirit. Aren't there prayers for the sick that are anointed? Yes. That are inspired? Have you ever been? Have you experienced being inspired in prayer in your private life. Maybe you get to praying and you can't find a stopping place. Oftentimes that's how it is when you're inspired in your home. Sometimes it can be that way in the service. Brother Doug, I don't think he's here. He probably wouldn't like me mentioning his name. He takes prayer requests sometimes, and especially on Wednesday night, and he often says, those of you that are here, I might say it wrong, he'd like for everyone to pray. You know, just have a whole prayer meeting. There's some nights that we do have, major part of our services is prayer. Prayer is very important to the work of God and to the church of God and to your own personal walk. Without it, you'll dry up and die. And the church will too. The scripture tells us who and what to pray for. We need to learn what those things are. When we're together as a body, those are the things that we pray for. We pray for the saints. We pray for the word. We pray for the work. We pray for the Spirit to come down into our midst. We also tell the Lord, where two or three are gathered in your name, you're there in the midst. We're claiming the presence of the Lord when it's just a few. We're not discouraged, see? And then it says we sing with the Spirit or in the Spirit, and we sing with the understanding. I think I've already talked a little bit about that. But it's still part of being in the congregation and in the camp meeting in a big setting like this. Let the Spirit of the Lord come down and minister to you individually in our song service. And when I say that, let the Holy Spirit place it upon your heart, the number to call. Let it be the order of the Spirit. And I'm not saying all of this to put us all under some kind of a oppression that what if this song isn't the one? That's not what this is all about. The Lord knows how to teach us. He knows how to lead us. But I want to tell you that He does anoint some songs where they're so rich. It can be the same song we have sang all of our life. Have you ever gotten tired of the songs? No, because the Spirit gives it life. Thank the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is anointing songs. Thank the Lord. The next verses are from 23 to 26, 32 to 33 and 40, and I'm not going to read them all. I'm just going to refer to them for the sake of time. I have a little title in my book on the margin, and the title there says, Order Essential in Public Assemblies. So I believe that the Lord does have some order for us. Now there is, the enemy would like for us to have an independent spirit in some of these things. Well, I have the right to get the spirit, the mind of the Lord like anybody else. That's true. But if it's not fitting together, there's something wrong. If it's not working to edify the whole body, something is not exactly right. I don't believe the Lord wants us to be independent. He wants us to be workers together. So verse 23 speaks about the whole body or the church coming together. That would be in our congregations. Or in a camp meeting, such as this. Verses 24 to 25, it speaks of those that are coming into the services. And it speaks about being an influence I'm just giving you some, I'm not reading it for the sake of time. An influence or an impact. Yes. Don't just come to service and be dead. We need everyone in the congregation. We need your contribution. We need your spiritual blessings to be poured out to us. Amen. And when the enemy takes advantage, and sometimes we come and we sit and say nothing, God's worthy of praise. We need the influence. It also speaks about the convincing of the Spirit of God through preaching, through testifying. If you run that out on prophecy, you'll find that that also means testifying. So in our services, when we testify, we can also convince. What does that mean? If someone comes into our service that is not among us or with us or doesn't have all light and understanding, the testimony and the minister of the word can convince them of their place, and they will fall down and worship God, the scripture says. But it's the Spirit of the Lord working in the vehicles, those avenues. Also, it said that secrets are revealed. I remember not long ago, I preached a message there at home. And the next morning, I got a call from one of the individuals in the congregation, and they said, "Did you know who that message was for?" And I said, "No." "Well, it was for me." "Did you know that the Spirit of the Lord knows things I don't know? The Spirit of the Lord knows things that you need to hear, and we don't understand why He gives a certain message sometimes, but somebody needs it." And isn't that how we pray? "Lord, help us to minister to the needs of the people when we don't know." This passage also speaks of that God will receive all glory and all praise in our services. This is how we're to conduct ourselves now. Verse 26, it says, "Does everyone come with a psalm? Does everyone come with a doctrine? Does everyone come with a revelation?" What if we all came with the same thing? Would the service be anointed? Would it be blessed? Would it feed? Would it edify? But we come with our portion, your place, what God gives you for that time. And it works. Thank the Lord. So what he's saying here, we all don't come and we all don't get up and talk at the same time. We all don't pray at the same time. We don't come and say, "Well, I want my song and this one wants his." And we try to sing two songs at the same time. I want to tell you that singing is a very important part, you know this, of our services. And the words, again, are so important. When we went to Germany, they some of their songs were in our book. So here, we'd turn, they'd tell us what page. We'd turn and sing in that song in English, and they would be singing in German. But we knew the words, and we could raise our hand. And so after a while, I asked Brother Arthur there to translate their songs, because we couldn't tell what they were saying. And when he began to translate the German words, it brought tears. And yes, we could raise our hand. We knew what we were raising our hand to. Oh, I want to tell you, the Lord wants our services to be blessed like that because we know what we're singing. Verse 26, it ends up with, let all things be done unto edifying. And there's that word again. That we work with one another and bless one another. Verse 32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Amen. What does that mean? How does that work? I want to tell you, if there is not a spirit of humility in the workers of God, it won't work. God will resist the proud. But when he is designing and ordering for the ministers to work together like this in unity, being subject one to another, his spirit is so pleased to be poured out into the midst of his people. And so what this is saying for us to conduct ourselves in the church of God is for every one of us to be subject one to another. So what if someone needs correction? Is there a way to do it? It is only through great humility that you can be able to go to a brother and not create an offense where they will go away. Lord, help us to be wise in this way. Help us to be sensitive. Help us to be sensitive to the Spirit's timing. If we get ahead of the timing, we can do much damage. If we're led of the Spirit will be right. Verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all of the churches of the saints. And verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. And I would like to give you those definitions. Decent means appropriate, fitting, proper, suitable, respectable, and becoming. Aren't those beautiful words? Don't you like what that represents? That it would be beautiful and respectable and it would be decent. And then in order, I like this definition. It's methodical, harmonious arrangement. Don't you know that the Lord knows how to orchestrate it all in harmony, in arrangement, that it works together? Thank the Lord. Okay, Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. Camp meeting. Camp meeting is a little different setting than in our home congregations. Camp meeting is really an extension of the home congregations. I find that to be so because I find myself, ourselves, my husband and me, generally sitting in the same section and place. And I look across here and I see faces that I've seen in that side for years. And a lot of times it's the same individuals, and it's almost like a little congregation here and a little one here. And so we're almost like little congregations coming all together. Not sitting in our own congregations. We're sitting as the people of God and the saints of God. But God is wanting Holy Spirit liberty. His liberty. He wants us to have liberty. But he wants liberty to order the services in a setting such as this, where we're from different congregations, different states, different cultures, different countries. We're from different places. And he's wanting to bring us all together and allow his spirit to have liberty. So, just as we expect the messages to be anointed, It is no less of an expectation for all parts of the services to be anointed. The calling of songs. But what about the song leader? We want the song leader to have a burden for that. A calling. Not just because the song leader has taken so many years of piano lessons and music lessons, and they're very knowledgeable, and they can sing real good. That's not the qualifications for the song leader in the congregation nor in the camp meeting. It is because God has looked down and he has seen maybe a willing vessel, and he has chosen a vessel to stand before the congregation in that capacity. And he wants to anoint their efforts and their work, if you will. And he can. I have experienced down through my life, coming to Monarch, different song leaders. You probably have too. You can maybe remember some. Brother Carver. We all remember Brother Carver, partly with the song of, what is the song? What a Kingdom. And he taught us to hold that out until we were out of breath. There's other song leaders that the Lord has used to bless and edify the camp of the saints when they come together in this capacity. Special singing. Getting up in this, and I appreciate what Brother Michael said this morning. I fully support what Brother Michael said. Did you know if you stand before the body of Christ, you should be an example of modesty? It is expected of the Spirit in order for it to be anointed. You need to be Spirit-filled to be Spirit-led. Maybe singing has been a gift. God gives wonderful gifts to edify the body. I have experienced special singing, and I have already said it to those from South Carolina, so I can repeat it here now. But years ago, probably in the 1960s, I remember when they first came to Monarch, and they got up and sang a special out of our hymnal, and it was not with our tune. And it was so anointed, I have never forgotten it. And how many years ago is that? Oh, 50 years? That's the kind of anointing I'm talking about. Anointing that makes it so alive that even if it's not the right tune, it's anointed, see? On the other hand, I have heard individuals get up that are very polished. And you know what? I'm not saying this because I want you to get up and be off tune and we're going to call it anointing. That's not it. I appreciate harmony. God appreciates harmony. So let's not get this out of balance. But I have experienced, and maybe you have too, special songs that were in perfect harmony. Maybe they had perfect pitch and all of that. I don't. But there wasn't a spirit that was anointing it. It is so important to be Spirit-filled and be Spirit-led so that the Spirit can say, this is the time, this is the song, and it will edify. It will feed the people. It will bless the people. and the Holy Spirit will have ordered it. It will not have been in my own mind, because I've heard this song and it was so blessed to me, and it might not be in the right time. I'm going to tell something else on this brother from South Carolina. I don't know if he's here. What's his name? Brother Clinton. Brother Clinton said that he is not a singer. I've already talked to him in this meeting. I asked him if he could possibly get up and sing this song. And he says, I'm not a singer. He got up at the Guthrie meeting and sang this song. I had not heard it before. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want to tell you, that song went straight to my heart.
Yes.
It so anointed my very spirit. I was weeping. And I had to ask him another service to sing it again, and he did. That is and was an anointed song. Why? Because it was a beautiful song? Because of who got up and sang it? Wasn't that at all. It was the Spirit of the Lord saying, this is the song at the right time. Oh, saints, isn't the Holy Spirit a beautiful spirit? Don't we invite him into our services? Yes, but each one of us need to be spirit-filled to be able to experience the anointing that is coming across the desk, that is in the songs. We have to have the Spirit in us. Don't resist the Holy Spirit filling your vessel. I believe that's all the Lord wants us to say. We appreciate the liberty that the Spirit has given this morning. We desire for our services to be edified and for the church of God to be as successful. I have at times been very burdened that the church be a successful, a healthy body in the earth, producing body in the earth. I want to see that. And it is only through the Holy Spirit that it can be healthy and producing. Pray for me.